Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
He'll get you the sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francisco.
Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN.
From the studios of WFAN, this is Mike's On, Francesa on the Fan on this 23rd day of the month of October. Chilly day, an autumnal, nice autumnal day as we will usher in a much anticipated fall classic this evening with the Dodgers and the Red Sox ready to do battle, two storied franchises, two storied ballparks, a real high marquee, really top-level marquee World Series, which will begin this evening. And maybe a little fitting around here that it will begin this evening because it comes hours after we put the final nail in the Giants' coffin for this year. The Giants started the funeral by moving out Eli Apple a few hours ago. We're still a week from the trade deadline. So the trade deadline's a little late this year. It's next Tuesday. So there's plenty of time for speculation, plenty of time to move some more Giants out as this year has now come to a crashing thud. And here's the bottom line off last night's game. And to me, the two failed sneaks at the goal line are as symbolic of everything the Giants have been the last couple of years as anything. The plight of Eli, the mind being willing and the body not being able and the line not being inept, and so much of that just wrapped up in the ineptitude and the inability of those two plays. But it's time that John Mara, who you saw a lot of last night, who was on camera a lot last night as part of their theme, it's time that he and his co-owner take a deep, hard look in the mirror and realize that they have become one of the really bad franchises in the NFL. And it's not just short term. I mean, nobody around here needs a Giant history lesson. Everybody understands the history of the Giants. But the Giants now will be losers for the fifth time in 6 years. That's not a bad year. That's not a bad injury. That's not the bad bounce of a ball. That's not a bad pick. That is a culture. The Giants are 34-53 in the last five and almost now half seasons. They are 4-19 in their last 23 games, which puts them at the bottom of the NFL. They have become a losing franchise. They now have a losing culture. They have a losing mindset. They have a complete franchise ineptitude. Any way you want to say it, the Giants now have to spin themselves out of what is now a complete collapse as a franchise. This is not a one-year thing. It's not a two-year thing. It's now a half a decade thing. And you're talking about 5 of 6 years, and the last couple being the kind of years that franchises don't ever expect to have. I mean, the Giants, if you go back and trace it, their halcyon days of the late 50s and 60s where they were often the bridesmaids, to the ineptitude that led to the flying of planes and the burning of tickets that went from 64 to 79. 79, obviously the play that leads to the hiring of George Young, the settling of the internal strife. The George Young leads to the signing of Ray Perkins as head coach, who brings with him an offensive defensive coordinator named Bill Parcells. There's a lot of quality on that staff, including a Bill Belichick. They draft a Lawrence Taylor. They draft a Phil Sims from 84 through the Parcells years, through some up and down years, through the Tom Coughlin years. They spend 25 years going to 5 Super Bowls and winning 4 and being as good and as directed and as solid as any franchise in the entire league. You can put them up there with the Steelers, the Niners, whoever you want to put them up there. The Giants for that 25 years were as good as anybody. They were quality. They were class. They knew how to win. They went to the Super Bowl 5 times. They won 4. They stood for success. But they have completely lost their way. And now they are, again, spinning out of control as they did in the late 60s into the 70s. They have now spun completely out of control. This is now 5 or 6 years that they've lost their way. They didn't know how to handle the end of Tom Coughlin's career. They have not understood how to handle the end of Eli Manning's career. They have not put people around them, bringing in an older general manager who completely whiffed on rebuilding the offensive line that his predecessor could not build. His predecessor could not rebuild the offensive line, and now in a year of change, including spending draft picks, spending money, they have completely whiffed, and completely is the word after the way their left tackle that they spent a fortune on last night embarrassed themselves. That offensive line against a bad defense, against a defense that has been exposed all year, really embarrassed all year. They couldn't get in the end zone against that team. They couldn't protect their quarterback against that team. When they did protect him, there were plays to be had downfield. Eli threw for 400 yards. It was the ineptitude in the red zone that cost them again last night. You want to call it bad blocking, miscommunication. The biggest reason that you don't score in the red zone is because you can't run the ball. You have to be proficient in the red zone, you have to have a running threat. And that's what the Giants don't have. And, you know, you feel for Barkley, who has a world of talent, who gets no chance to ever, ever get a hold or run through at the line of scrimmage because this offensive line is in bed. It is putrid. We've been telling you that since the day this season started. The evaluation of Eli Manning at times has been hard. A lot of people who do it, though, in the media, do it to choose sides with Beckham against Manning. It's become a Manning-Beckham thing. I've almost feel like that there's a lot of that going on in the media. It's not just about Beckham. It's not just about Manning. It's about the entire offense because both of them and the new running back have been hampered by the play of this inept and completely overrun offensive line. And that is not brought up enough. You got Witten last night and his counterpart, you know, in what is a terrible Monday night broadcast. I'm sorry, they need a lot of work. I mean, listen, got to give them time to mesh, but right now it's not a good listen. But the point is, they're almost arguing as whose fault it was during the game. The bottom line is, hey, every time they want to blame Eli, you get swamped the next play. They want, you know, and then it's, oh, give the ball to Barkley. Well, give the ball to Barkley. You can't get back to the line of scrimmage. Oh, Beckham ran the wrong route. Oh, this. The bottom line is, it's all starts where Pat Shurmur told you in training camp, we will go as far as the offensive line will take us. And the offensive line has taken them to 1-6. It's not the only issue. I'm not going to completely, you know, forgive other things like special teams play and the defense at times. The bottom line, last night, Matty Ice went 18 straight plays. He hit on 18 straight passes. That is a good offense. It is a hard offense to play against. There's no question. It's a very good offense. It's an equally poor defense that at times looked overpowering last night because of the play of the Giant offensive line. And Eli had some bad plays last night, too. He had some bad throws. He also had some terrible clock management, and that wasn't on Shurmur, what went on in that last minute and a half. That was on Eli. If he didn't get into the end zone, that was going to look ridiculous. If he didn't get in the end zone twice on sneaks, it was going to look completely inept, and that's what it looked like. Those are on him. That's his clock management in the last minute and a half. He went underneath the shepherd because he thought he could get him in motion and get him to take it right into the end zone. He didn't. Now you got to play off that, and now you get the ball down to the one-yard line, and you wind up taking two shots at it and letting the clock run. And listen, that did not, as I've heard depicted, cost them the football game. Folks, the odds on them at that point ever getting the ball back was 20% at best. If they score with a minute left, a minute and a half left, odds are they're still going to not get the ball back because they got to kick an onside kick no matter what. They had no timeouts. They couldn't do anything else. So still it was going to come down to an onside kick, which is at best a 20% play. I don't even know if it's run at 20% in the league this year. I think they said last night there had only been two successful onside kicks this year. So the game, for all intents and purposes, was over before that drive. Then you get to Shermer and you're scratching your head. I still don't understand the thought process on the two-point conversion. I mean, why would you ever, ever, I'll discuss that with him today. I just don't even understand why you would ever think of making that play. How does that help you? I mean, you're putting yourself to where, God forbid, that game had been 20-12 and they had come down and not tied the game up at 20-20 at the end. This guy wouldn't have been able to find a place to hide in this town today. Kick the extra point. Make it simple. You know, don't complicate the game. But right now, none of it matters. The 1-7's over. I mean, the seven-game stretch is over. They're 1-6. They'll start to trade off players, whatever ones they can. This is about next year. They can say whatever they want to say. I mean, it's almost you don't want to hear them say one more time, well, it's about us learning to execute. Learning what? You are a now team. Your quarterback is in the later stages of a very long, distinguished career. He's not going to be around here that long. This is a now team. The idea you're building, well, you're not executing for 3 years. This is not Sam Darnold, who's 21 years old. You made a decision to win now. So the idea that, well, you know, it's just about us finding that one win. You know, we just got to get that one win. One win. You didn't come here to win one game. You came here to win a lot of games. The coach, to me, comes off as a nice guy, almost seems satisfied, which is sad. Well, I see some good things. There's nothing good about what we're seeing. They haven't improved that offensive line 1 inch. And it's their third swing at it this year. And only one guy was an injury. That was the center. The rest of it is total ineptitude. The $5 million they spent a year on the right guard who's not playing. The first-round pick they spent on Flowers, who they had to cut. Hernandez, who last night made some bad plays again, and then Solder, who last night had a game that just was mortifying. So, listen, in a couple of weeks, we won't be talking about the Giants a lot because there won't be much to talk about. Whether they win or lose won't mean a darn thing to the rest of this season. You know? Right now, if you're a Giant fan, and listen, I don't know about this idea that you are trying to get this Oregon quarterback. None of us know anything about this guy. So the idea that now he's the guy, I don't know that. I don't know that even a little. You know, tell me about the Alabama quarterback, I'll say yes, but that's 2 years away. So I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the future holds for Eli. I don't know that there'll be any connection to Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville, as I told you yesterday, I heard that Jacksonville was looking around for veteran quarterbacks. I did not say they were looking to New York. I don't know that they are. There's two things they would have to decide. One, how do they deal with both quarterbacks' salaries, the Bortles salary and contract and the Eli salary and contract? And number two, whether or not they could protect Eli, because if they can't, don't bother. They got to get Fournette back and feel like they can. If they feel like they can, he can help them. If they can't, he won't help them. Eli's not going to operate well behind a line that can't help him. If they got a line that can help him, then it works. And the fact that they picked up Flowers was not a good sign. They have their own problems as they go this week to London to take on the Eagles after having crashed and burned now, you know, four times in the last 5 weeks and have and Marone, who's not an easy coach, saying that he's starting his quarterback, but with a very short leash, which is basically one of the worst vote of confidence I've ever said, ever heard a quarterback sent out onto a field with. And the only thing behind him is Kessler. So that you're not, you know, nothing to write home about. So maybe they will make a move. We'll see. We'll see how all this will, you know, start to shake itself out. The most interesting part of the Giants the rest of the way will be how many guys they trade. And what the future holds for Eli Manning. You got to figure, both the general manager and the head coach are going nowhere. I cannot believe the Giants are going to change again after 1 year, after just changing after 2 years. I cannot believe they're going to change after 1 year. I don't believe they will, so I don't think this is the only swing these guys are getting. But you know what? Their first swings have been really rotten. They've been completely inept. Completely, without question, inept, both the general manager and the coach. Inept. That's what the Giants are right now. They are an awful, disheartening, disgraceful 1-6. But you know what? It's not about 1 year now. It's about the Giants losing for the fifth year in 6 years and losing their 19th game out of their last 23. This once proud franchise has become a laughingstock. That's what John Mara and Steve Tisch and all the rest of the family have to do. Look in the mirror, because your team stinks. And there's not a lot of good stuff there. Back after this.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.